Welcome to the Cody Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about something I've touched on in the past, which I think is quite important, is the importance of a good README. Now, as web developers, we work on generally quite a number of projects. There's very few of us who get to work on just one or two. And having a good README really makes life easier for yourself and other developers. So why do we want to create a README and a good README at that? There's two essential reasons. One is for onboarding new developers. This is pretty massive. So a lot of the time you might be very familiar with the project, how to get it set up again if you have to, you get a new machine or something like that. And that's fine. But when new developers come on, they don't know these things. And if someone's not there to assist them, it certainly can take up a lot of time. So it kind of allows people to get started very easily, and it also increases productivity at the same time, seeing you don't have to take, say, another developer out of their daily workflow to get anything set up for that new developer. So that's pretty important. And the other one is just for your own sanity. So if you come back to a project, say, 6 months later, you may find that you've forgotten how to run certain things on the project or get it bootstrapped and ready, or even deployment as another example. So that's really, really important to why you need to generate a README. So basically, what should we include in a really, really good README? Now, you can go out and look at other projects, but just this is kind of my little list that I find is really helpful to have. So the first things are who has contributed and their contact details. So it's good to know who's actually contributed to the project, but also being able to contact them if there is any questions or anything like that. The next is what the dependencies are for the project. So whether you're relying on PostgreSQL, ImageMagick, or something like that, some other kind of dependencies are outside the actual code of the project itself. The next thing is how to get the project bootstrapped, so basically ready for development locally. That's really, really important, knowing how to set that up, because basically you'd have to go through the steps and then find out, oh, this isn't working, and then there's a big loop. So having some information how to get the project bootstrapped is really, really handy, preferably if you can actually have some kind of script that will automate those things. So for example, in a Rails project, you might have a script that copies over an example database file. It might create a copy over the secrets.yaml file, things like that. The next thing is how to deploy the project into production. So it's great once you've got all your changes done, but being able to deploy that, you know, is it a Git push Heroku? Do you have to do a Capistrano deploy? Do you have to just FTP it? Anything like that. The next thing is how to run tests. Now, if you do have some kind of QA set in place, knowing how to run tests and any other services that you're using there is really, really important. So you might need to run, say, in a Rails project RSpec. You might also have some dependency on ESLint or something like that to lint your JavaScript as well. So anything like that needs to be documented. That's a pretty big one. Another one is third-party services. So you might be using something like Amazon S3. You might be using Heroku. So having that information there and how to access those services is really important. Another one, which is it kind of does and doesn't belong in README, which is how to contribute or do features for the project. Now, this I've had a discussion with a few people on the Changelog Slack channel for the Changelog members, and basically, the consensus really was that it should be in a contributor's file separately. But if it's very simple, then you may be able to include that in the README if it's very short. But generally, contribution files are sort of lengthy, not as long as a README, but close enough, sometimes even longer, actually. So you may want to include that in a separate file, but sometimes it's important to at least have some kind of information to contribute if you're just going to have the one file. Another thing is build status. So it may be important, this is more so for open source projects, is the build status. So if master's fine, if a certain release is fine, so having those little tags showing what the build status is there. The other thing was if you do have some kind of health check, I didn't add this to the list, but I was just thinking about it before. So you might want to do something like, for example, in a Rails project, run Rails best practices or Breakman, just getting that kind of QA. It could be tied into running your tests as well. So they're sort of the same, but I kind of separate them a bit because they are slightly different. And the last one that is super, super important is the overview of the project. So, you know, like, what is the project trying to achieve? So it kind of gives this insight to someone who might be taking over the project, the reasons behind it. Now, if it's just a website, sometimes you don't really need to know as much. It might just be obvious that it's a marketing site or something like that. But if the project has some other specific use, like a particular API for interacting of in some certain way, it's good to know that what that project is about and what it's trying to accomplish as the code base is. So you may be thinking, okay, that's a lot of stuff to remember, but there are easy ways to get started. There is a very simple one. There's actually a service called readme.io that basically, it's a paid service, but you essentially have all these nice features to create these really good readmes. Another one is to check out some large open source system projects and see what they do, because they generally do a really good job because they have a lot of people using it. They need to be able to get up and running, whether it be just using it or actually contributing back. And I do have one that I've been setting up, which I'll leave in the show notes. I've had for a while, but I needed to touch it up a bit, which is kind of like a boilerplate. I believe it's at PixelStack on GitHub slash, on GitHub at PixelStack readme-boilerplate. I believe that's it, but I'll update the link in the show notes. So that's all you really need to get started. So it seems like a lot, but if you get at least one readme done, you can essentially use that as a template for the rest. So my summary for this is good readme. It will save your sanity as well as others. So really, really important there. You should always think like someone else will have to take over the project or even contribute. If you're thinking with that kind of mentality, it makes creating these readmes very, very easy. And the last thing, it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you can update a readme as you go over time, which really you should be updating the readme over time if anything's changing. But don't worry about it. Just get in there and start one, because it will save headaches for yourself and anyone else in the future. Now, if you have any questions or thoughts on this, please send a tweet through to @CodaCatchUp or leave a comment on CodaCatchUp.com, and we'll catch you at the next episode.